John chapter 19 and verse 16. I want to share something very simple with you. John chapter 19, verse 16. Very simple. Tell the person beside you, very simple. I just want to share. Yep, very simple. Just. But it will bless you, okay? It will bless you. So here we have the story of Pilate, you know, his conversation with Jesus and the Jews and, you know, all that happened there. In verse 13, it says, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbata. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, behold your king. Here's your king. Have your king and do with your king whatever you want to do with him. Did you come to church with the Bible?
Yes.
And did you come ready to learn God's word this morning? Okay. So he says, behold your king. Have your king. Do with him whatever you want to do. But they cried out, away with him, away with him. Crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. You know when offense, bitterness, so just makes you hate someone so much. Have you met people like that? They hate and they lose reason. They said, Caesar is our king. This Jesus, just kill him, crucify him. Now, they didn't mean it. Caesar was not their king. They didn't want Caesar. But they just didn't like Jesus. And by the way, you have to know, not everybody's going to like you. Then you have to just be comfortable with the fact that not everybody's going to like me. You know, some of you get troubled that you're not liked. Now, I'm not talking about bad character, okay? I'm not trying to validate bad character, you know. You don't know how to talk. You don't know how to... You never pass compliments. You always are critical of people. And you're not kind. You're mean. You shouldn't be liked. That's normal. Okay? You shouldn't be liked. You can be loved of God. But you shouldn't be liked. That's normal. But, I mean, I'm saying they're just folks who are not happy with you. Odims, do you get what I'm saying? They're just not happy with you. They're just not happy with your progress. They're just not happy with your life. You're shining too much. Your joy just does not make them happy. Now, I know certain people in the body of Christ, this is all they teach. In fact, everything they have to say is, what's this thing? My enemies. What are these terms they use? Haters, right? And they have a lot of quotable quotes. You know, sometimes I see how that people... The moment they're going through something emotional, any statement that validates their emotion becomes revelation. It's a shame if you're like that. It's a shame. And everything is a sob. Everything. Everything. They never post revelation they receive from God, but they write something like this. It takes depth to see value. If they don't see your value, it's not your fault. Or maybe they just broke up with you. Every word is a, you know, they go, some people are not really meant to be in your life. They are crying as they are writing it, hoping that the guy is going to call them back, but they are posting. Some people are not really meant to be in your life. Gold in rough form is not appreciated. What a shame. How immature you are. All of a sudden, T.D. Jakes becomes your best preacher because... And those folks who like to pander to your emotions. God, a shame. Continue. As you're writing, he will get engaged again. And he will marry and have children. And what you are left with is philosophy. Philosophy of life. Continue. Continue. Keep writing. Keep writing nonsense. You write, and your hand is like parrot. By the time you are done, it's bead. It's story. The Church of Jesus Christ today has turned to something else. This is not the church in the book of Acts of the Apostles. If Jesus today sees the church, he will cry. Jesus needs to come back quickly. But what can I say about these things? I'll face my cup of tea. I thought you were facing your cup of tea. Don't let bitterness rob you of common sense. Don't let it rob you of common sense. Let it rob you of common sense. How can you say Caesar is our king? You're out of your mind. Just because you're angry with Jesus, Caesar is now your king. Now you're following that guy. You know he's a bozo, not a Boaz. He's a bozo. You know. You know. You know he's a bozo. You know, inside your heart, you know he's a bozo. But to prove a point, with your life, continue. Continue. They told you will not make it, so you are releasing song back to back, to show them that you will make it. You are releasing song back to back. Now your inspiration is inspired. You are really back to back releasing song. You are putting it there. Some people think when they leave your life, God has left. No, God has not left. Please look at the person beside you and tell them, continue. If you like, if it's your boss that is beside you and say, continue. The effects thereof are for you to deal with. Glory to God. It says, then he delivered him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. The Bible says, he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of his skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And scholars tell us this is about where Abraham sacrificed Isaac. Quite prophetic. It says, where they crucified him and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Now, the rule of crucifixion was that you write the name of the person and his offense. So you write Musa Barau. That's what you write there, Musa Barau. So that once you look at it, you know why. Because it's the most cruel, inhumane form of death. So you had to justify it by writing why this person was there. Now look at what happens here. I said to you, I just wanted to share with you basic stuff, right? Okay. And Pilate wrote a title. Who wrote it? Come and talk to me. Who wrote it? Good. And put it on the cross. So they wrote for the other people, but Pilate wrote this one. And what did he write? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Read it one more time. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Who wrote it? Pilate. Now, you may never have seen this before, or you may have seen it and you didn't give attention to it. I want you to look at the next verse there. 20 and 21 there. And 22. This title then read many of the Jews. And this is very powerful. They read it. Many of the Jews read it. So can I ask you a question? When they read it, what did they say? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. A confession. It says, many of the Jews read it. And as they read it, what they said was, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. You don't understand how powerful this is in just a bit. He says, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew. It was written in Greek. It was written in Latin. That means the Jews and the Gentiles. Whoever read it was making a confession. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, so you understand how powerful this is. Look at verse 21. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Which meant they were saying, what you wrote is wrong. What you wrote is wrong. What Pilate wrote was, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. They said what you should have written is, he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now look at what happens next. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Now lift your right hand towards heaven and say this, what God has written,
he has written.
Which means if what Pilate has written, he has written. If a man could establish the irrevocability of what is written, which means once it's written, it cannot be changed. The only mistake you make is to allow it to be written. The moment it's written, you follow what I'm saying here? Which means you can argue anything else, but once it's... Do you remember that the Bible tells us the king was in love with Daniel? If you remember the story, he was in love with Daniel. But they got the king in deception to write something. He signed into law an edict. You follow what I'm saying here? And to the end that they might catch Daniel in his service to God. When Daniel heard it, he went to pray as usual. What happened? They came to the king and they said, look at this, Daniel. He's flaunted your rules. He's flaunted your laws. Now he has to what? Pay the price for it. Can I ask you a question? Did the king want Daniel to pay the price? Talk to me. Who was the first person that came to visit Daniel the next morning? He was the king. He said, oh, Daniel, are you good? Are you safe? Now, here is a man. His words haven't been written, have become his bound, his binding force, which means irrespective of what he thought and how he felt, what I have written, I have written. I want to share with you today, it's written. Did you hear what I said? Let me tell you what the Lord is saying concerning your life. What I have written, I have written. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. Somebody shouted, what I have written. That's one of the most powerful statements. In fact, I have studied God's word and I have found out that Pilate was one of the deepest men in scriptures. He made some of the most powerful statements. You can go back and study it for yourself. Pilate teaches me a lot. You follow what I'm saying? He teaches me a lot. Teaches me a lot. He said, what I have written, I have written. What I have written, I have written. I would to God that many of God's children understood the power of what is written. What is written? What is written? Nothing on earth will be more powerful, more anointed, more supernatural than what is written. Did you hear what I said? You may go into a service and the anointing is so strong and all of that. That's beautiful. You might meet a healing minister or a prophetic vessel, and there's such a great demonstration and flow of God's power, the anointing and gifts of the Spirit through them. What is written is greater. Did you hear what I said? We might not always have these gifts with us, but we have what is written with us. Say this with me, what he has written, he has written. And to let you know that Pilate was inspired by God, he wasn't a mistake. He knew what he was writing. He knew what he was writing. The chief priest understood the power of what was written, and they came to him. They said, change it. Change it. Is it not just something they wrote? Am I right? Is it not a signboard? What's the big deal? Why were they coming to him to meet him to change it? Why? They understood the laws of the Spirit. What is written is written. It cannot be changed. Are you following what I'm saying? Can I tell you something? What is said can be changed. What is spoken can be changed. And I'll show you examples in scriptures. Are you following what I'm saying? What is spoken can be changed. Isaiah, go tell the king he would die. Hezekiah, God spoke those words. Am I right? Talk to me. Was he changed? Yes. There will be no greater demonstration of power than what is written. There will be no greater demonstration of the anointing, expression of the power, the love of God, the anointing of God's Spirit than what is written. There would be none. I don't care how great the demonstration of God's Spirit is, there'll be none. That's why I told you, I just wanted to share with you, quite basic, but quite powerful. Very powerful. In fact, when you understand the teaching ministry, please listen to me and stay closely with me. You know, now I just have to give you what I feel the Lord considers the most important because of the time that I have with you. Okay? And as I prayed much in the middle of the night, just seeking the face of the Lord, I had three different things I could talk about. But the Lord came to me and said, this is what I wanted to tell them. So I'm telling you what the Lord wants you to hear. It may not be what you want to hear, but it's what you need.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? Pastor Musa, there will never be a greater demonstration of the anointing than the written word of God. There'll never be. There'll never be. Are you still here? Let me read you one or two scriptures here. And we'll see how far the Lord will help us today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, I mean, what is written is written. So if I can find what is written, I found the law, the unchangeable law. I found it. Once I find what's written, I found what cannot be revoked in the realm of the spirit. That's what I found. There's a scripture I've shared with us several times, but it's worth observing again. Isaiah, the 8th chapter. It's worth observing again. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 and verse 20. It's a text that I've shared with us several times. It says, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mortar, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead? So he's saying, find a way to get in contact, in touch with your God. A people should seek their God. There's access to the realm of the spirit. And he says, find a way to make a connection. And we know there are religions of the world that have created different ways to make a connection. Sacrifices, whatever it is that they have to do. And that's what he's talking about. Look at verse 20 there. Verse 20, it says, to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, this is a bit blind to us in the King James. Let's look at it in the Message translation. The Message translation. Hallelujah. Isaiah 8, verse 19, the Message translation. It's really a message. Okay. He says, when people tell you, try out the fortuners, consult the spiritualists, why not tap into the spirit world? Get in touch with the dead. Everybody, let's read together. Want to go? Tell them, no, we're going to study the scriptures. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So somebody walks up to a juju priest or whatever it is and takes a sacrifice and all of that, wears cowrie and does all of that. He says, can I have your Bible, please? This Bible in, what is it? I'm not reading. Don't worry. It's fine. It's when I'm reading, that's when there'll be a problem. Why would you make King James new? Okay, so why would you make it new? Glory to God. He's saying this Bible in your hand, as simple as it looks, is a guarantee of access to the realm of the spirit. Look at what he said. He said, when people tell you, try out the fortuners, consult the spiritualists, you carry an Ouija board. Or, you know, I was speaking with somebody and the person said, my zodiac sign. I said, Zo what? You know, so said the reason I'm a very tough person is because of my sign. Glory to God. Somebody says, there's this prophet there. Let's go and meet the person so he can show us what will yet happen. And you have believers who, that's the way they live their lives. They want to make a decision. They have a prophet they go to see and give a special seat. Oh, yeah. And do I believe in the prophetic ministry? I do. But look at what it says. Try out the fortuners, consult the spiritualists. Why not tap into the spirit world? Get in touch with the dead. What are we going to do? Come on, talk to me. We're going to study the scriptures People who try the other ways get nowhere, a dead end. On and on it reads. In essence, the scriptures is not, you know, people think it's my book of Bible stories. It's their Bible stories inside. So let's read the book and have fun reading the book. No, there is nothing more spiritual on the face of the earth than the written scriptures. Are you following what I'm saying here? And the earlier we began to give the word of God that attention, that priority, the honor, the value, and the place that it deserves, the better for us. There's nothing God is going to do that he won't do without his word. Anything God does that contradicts the word, he allows you not to take it up. He allows you. He's fine with him. No matter what it is you said you heard or you saw, as long as it does not line up with what is written. What is said is at the mercy of what is written. Are you following what I'm saying here? What is shown us, what is said to us, must always be at the mercy of what is written. Now, as simple as this is, many believers have become too sophisticated for the Bible. We listen to every preacher on YouTube, and very few read their Bibles. Very few. First things first, that's not spiritual growth. That's confusion. A plethora of spiritual influences never leads to spiritual maturity. Never leads to spiritual maturity. A plethora of influences where people say, you know, I listen to a lot of people. That's spiritual indiscipline. You know what that simply means? That means you visit every house in your estate to eat. I eat variety. Mommy bosse. Mama Chinedu. Mama Tunde. All of them have variety. Can you see I'm fresh? I eat variety. Glory to God. A plethora of influences does not lead to spiritual maturity. One of the most important disciplines you can develop is daily reading the Bible. Did you hear what I said? Daily. In fact, hear this and hear me well. The essence of the teaching ministry is to create a hunger in your heart for the curriculum from which he taught. A teaching ministry that makes you dependent on him has not done well, has not succeeded at his assignment. The assignment of a teaching ministry, anyone who communicates God's word, is to create within you a hunger, a thirst for the curriculum from which he has developed the material that you've been blessed by. Are you following what I'm saying? We have to understand this. God never gives us teachers to the end that we wait on them to do our reading and our study for us. No. No. It's to inspire us to get back into the scriptures for ourselves. Glory to God. That's my message this morning. Read your Bible. Can we close now? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Some believers have not read their Bible in 2 weeks, but they have downloaded all the YouTube clips. They have all the rev. Those are jokers. Did you hear what I said? Jokers. Jokers. You have to get into the word for yourself. Okay. Can I show you one or two things? It'll bless you. When you study the Bible, you see the priority, the premium that these men of God placed on the written word. The premium that they placed on the written word. Let's take Jesus for example, okay? Let's look at Jesus, John chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. Look at the priority, the premium that they placed on the written word. What did Jesus say? Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which what? Testify of me. This is Jesus speaking. You've heard me teach. You've heard everything that I've said. He said, but you go back and do what? Search the scriptures. Now, how many of you remember that Jesus was lost? Or his parents thought he was lost for a couple of days. Where did they find him? In the temple, what was he doing? Having a conversation. Asking questions and answering questions of the scribes and the doctors of the law. Are you following what I'm saying here? Do you remember when Jesus showed up at the synagogue and to preach his first message? What did the Bible say? He said he found where it was written of him. He found where it was written of him. You observe Jesus communicating. He would say, it is written. He would say, the prophet said. You can't take away the fact that he gave himself to the word. You can't take that away from him. This is the living word made flesh. Yet you observe his interaction, consistent interaction with the word of God. All right. How about Paul the apostle? Let's read a few scriptures. Let's read a few scriptures. It's time to go back to the Bible, right?
Yes, sir.
It's time to go back. You can't replace reading the Bible with listening to a message. They're two different things. They're two different things. You can't replace it with attending a service. They're two different things. Glory to God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. I want you to see what Paul said there. 2 Timothy 3, 15. All right, let's read together. I want to go. It says, and that from a child, thou hast known what? The Holy Scriptures. What have you known from a child?
The Holy Scriptures.
Look at what he says next. He says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Next verse, verse 16 there. All right, let's read together. One to go. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, you love this. What does he say? That the man of God may be mature. Hold on. The word perfect there means mature, equipped for the task. And what was Paul pointing Timothy to? The scriptures. I mean, Paul was probably the best, one of the foremost teachers at the time. But what did he say will equip Timothy? The scriptures. He says, you go back to the scriptures for yourself. Look at what he says. He says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto what? All good works. All good works. This is important. So irrespective of the great messages that we receive, the messages and the communication of God's word ought to drive us back to look into the scriptures for ourselves. They're not to replace it. They're not to replace it. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 there. Just flip one chapter ahead there, verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the 13th verse. Let's read together. I want to go. The cloak that I left at Troas with Capos, when thou comest, bring with thee. So, I mean, he forgot his three-piece suit. Okay, are you getting what I'm saying here? He forgot the suit there. And he says, all right, the cloak that I left with Capos, when thou comest, bring with thee. All right, and what? The books. Okay, so I know you have the, what's it called? Designer suits and tie. But what did he tell him to bring? And the books, but especially what? The parchment. Hallelujah. All right, so if you forget the every other thing, make sure you don't forget the parchment. Minister Neon, welcome. God bless you. Make sure you don't forget the parchment. Hallelujah. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So everyone has a personal responsibility to make contact with the Word of God. Everyone. Everyone. Too many believers are building their faith on what they are taught alone from the pulpit. But what you're taught from the pulpit ought to be an inspiration to get into the scriptures for yourself. Are you following what I'm saying here? And nobody, mark my words, nobody can grow to maturity. Nobody can be equipped effectively like they should be if they're not making contact with God's word for themselves. Look at what Peter said. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. Say with me, what is written is written. Say it again. What is written is written. Pilate said, I have written it. What is written is written. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. Glory to God. Let's look at it. It says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're what? Eyewitnesses of his majesty. So you remember the story. I mean, Jesus was there, glorified, transfigured, and Peter, James, and John were there. Peter said, hey, it's better for us to remain here. Just build a tabernacle here. Let's remain here. And all of that. And then Peter is making reference to that. He says, but we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. Next verse. He says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Look at the next verse. Verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven, we what? What happened? They heard the voice. It was clear it was a supernatural encounter. We heard the voice. We saw the glory. We saw all of these experiences. He says, when we're with him in the Holy Mount, next verse there, verse 19. He says, everybody read the next verse there. One to go. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Hear this and hear me well. I don't care the encounters. I don't care the supernatural experiences you have. The word of God is higher. You know, somebody comes in here and then says to you, you know, I was in the middle of the night and then three angels showed up and then all of a sudden my room was filled with the glory cloud. And do I believe in the demonstration of the charismata? Do I believe in the manifestation of God's glory? I do. And by the way, if you're a member of this church, you know that we do. Are you following what I'm saying here? But hear this. Peter said all of those things that happened, as great as they were, as great as those things were, he says, we have what? A more sure word of prophecy. He says, whereunto you do well that you take it, not taking heed to that experience, but to the word of prophecy. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? Are you still here? Okay. So let's go back to where we started from. The most anointed and most supernatural thing on the face of the earth is the written word of God. That's the most anointed. The most supernatural thing on the face of the earth is the written word of God. That's the most anointed. Nothing will be more anointed than that. And the earlier we started getting used to it, you understand what I'm saying here? You know, somebody wants you to feel an anointing, and then they say, because I felt the anointing and I felt the glory of God, and so they believe that God is with them and things are happening for them, and all of that is beautiful. But you see, you don't have to feel anything with the word. In fact, can I tell you something? You can produce tremendous results with the word without feeling nothing. The anointing can give you a feeling. Are you getting what I'm saying here? The anointing is not a feeling, but it can give you a feeling. But if you're functioning by the word, chances are that you're not going to feel anything. You're going to see light from God's word, and it's not because you feel any different. By the way, you said yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Was your hair standing the day you said yes? I mean, was your face glowing, and all of a sudden you got back home, and everybody said, you must be born again now. It's obvious. It's obvious you must be born again now. No, all you did was you heard certain things. Certain things were communicated to you. You saw certain things. And then what happened? There was a change on the inside of yourself. Hold that Bible in your hands. Hold that Bible. You know, I've been with you for 3 days now. And the Lord said to wait back this Sunday to be with you today. Hold that Bible in your hands. That is your key to victory. Are you following what I'm saying here? That is your key to victory. The pastor will be more anointed at some point, less anointed at some point, accessible at some point, non-accessible at some point, and at some point he will miss it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. At some point he won't see it, he won't hear it. Are you getting what I'm saying here? But this book is never wrong. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? Every believer must develop the discipline of making contact with the book every day. Every single day. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, have you not observed that we have a generation where you have more word in terms of the quality of revelation and the access to revelation, but you have less mature people? Have you not observed? Is it not an irony that you have a generation wherein, as it were, I mean, if you met the average believer, he can teach you anything. He has access to the word of God like years past, I mean, generations before never had. But then all of a sudden, you look at the quality of results in their lives. The quality of life in terms of character and producing results by the word. It seems very far from those who knew less. You know why? They were not just a hearing generation. Many of you had parents like that. These were the days where people had four concordances and they sat down to read by themselves. They had four. They had four different translations of the Bible to read by themselves. Are you following what I'm saying? Say with me, it is written. That's the most anointed thing on the face of the earth. It's written. That's the most anointed thing. I'll just give you a few thoughts here. And then just to stir your appetite to go back to the scriptures. All right? To read it consistently and to read it copiously. To read it consistently and to read it copiously. I've shared this with you before, that you don't read the Bible for revelation. No. You don't eat yam for starch or for carbohydrates. But if you eat it, you'll have carbohydrates. You'll have starch. You get what I'm saying here? So you don't eat, and that's the problem. Too many people are trying to read to have something to put on WhatsApp. You're in your study, and then just that little light that is, what they call it? Lighter. You know, lighter lights. That's just that little flicker of light. Already you have done a series on WhatsApp status. I just saw something. Somebody needs this. I sense in my heart that there's somebody that will read this, that it will change their lives. It has not even changed your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're being blessed this morning?
Yes, sir.
Number one, let me give you just a few things the written word will do for you. Hallelujah. So we had 3 days of almost 8 hours of teaching on the subject of prosperity. It is to help you get into the word to study it for yourself. You see that? Number one is spiritual edification. Edification. That's the first thing the written word does for you. Edification. Edification. It edifies you. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Edification. There's something that happens when your eyes look into the scriptures and you read it for yourself. Look at what it says. All right, it says, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to what? The word of his grace, which is able to what? Build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst all them, which are what? Sanctified. So, me, edification. That's the first thing. Strengthens your spirit. That's the first thing. All of a sudden, you find out that the very same situations that faced you last year, you're in the same place, but your response is different. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Many times people don't know that's growth. They don't know it's growth. You're in the same situation where somebody upset you and you know how you would have responded 2 months ago or 3 months ago. How many of you have found yourself surprised at yourself? You looked at your response. Now, I understand that that yes is both ways. I understand because some of you are just surprised at yourself yesterday. You're like, wow, wow. But you know the surprise I'm asking about, all right? I mean, you're surprised at yourself. Wow, can you imagine? You're faced with a situation and you're responding absolutely differently. You know why? Your spirit has been strengthened by the word that you have fed it on a consistent basis. Are you following what I'm saying here? The word that you have fed it on a consistent basis. You see, when the Bible says the sower goes out to sow the word, I want you to observe that he didn't say the preacher goes to sow the word. He said the sower. If he wanted us to think that it was preachers that sow the word, he would have said the preacher. But he said the sower. You know what? The preacher supplies seed. The man sows the seed. So you come into church or you're listening to a message. Pretty much what you have is seed supplied to you. You have to what? Get into it for yourself. To study for yourself. You have to have your notes. Let me make it as practical as possible. Can I have this? You've got to have notes upon notes that cannot crash. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Yeah, because your laptop may crash. Notes upon notes where you're studying and you're writing for yourself. Okay, pastor was preaching at the prosperity convention and he said prosperity is a grace. You write that thing down. I'm going to go study and search this out for myself.
Not that you go, prosperity is a grace. Do you know prosperity is grace? Then write it on WhatsApp. Prosperity is choice. Choice. I choose. You haven't read anything. You don't know anything. You just heard what I said. Where are your notes? Where are your notes? Do you have bucket loads of notes just stacked up everywhere in your house where you have studied materials for yourself?
One of the biggest challenges that we have right now is the people excited about God but not excited about study. It's one of the biggest challenges we have. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you've got to get the notes and study for yourself. In fact, all team leads must, supervise. I've brought my notes to church before. Some of you, we had a convention where I brought my notes from 10, 20 years ago of study upon study. And they were not studies because I thought I was going to be a preacher. They were studies because I was a Christian.
Yes, sir.
Studies upon studies. Different materials for myself. Okay? So I'll take the messages, okay, and I'll listen to them, and I'll jot, and then go back to study for myself, because that's where conviction and persuasion comes, in studying for myself. Hallelujah. Are you still here? All right, so the first thing it does is spiritual edification, edifies you. Number two, doctrinal persuasion and character development. That's the second thing the written scripture does for you. Doctrinal persuasion. Luke chapter 1, verse 1 down to verse 2. It says, I have put to hand, decided to write these things, that you may know of a surety the things that are believed amongst us. All right? Doctrinal persuasion. And character development. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16, verse 17. It says, the word of God is for doctrine. And then the other three parts is what? Character development. Reproof, instruction, and what? Correction. That's what the scriptures is for. Reproof, instruction, correction. All right, so that's the second thing the word of God does for you. It grants you persuasion in the word as you read it and study for yourself. Persuasion. Persuasion. And can I tell you something? Until you're persuaded of a truth, it cannot produce for you. Until you're persuaded of a truth, it cannot produce for you. Number three. Hallelujah. Number three, we come to terrains that we're familiar with. Is faith. 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 Look at Romans, the fourth chapter. And let's see a text there, a verse there. Romans chapter 4. You can't build your faith beyond your exposure to the written word. Please, everybody, look at me. How many of you remember when I said to you, I said, and I explained this, I think, day three of the Prosperity Convention. I said on the sixth day, when I decided to wait on the Lord and I needed clarity from the Lord concerning the subject of prosperity, and the word of the Lord came to me in that place, and the Lord said to me, he said, never will it be said that David, my servant, was more willing to show Mephibosheth kindness for Jonathan's sake than I am willing to show you kindness for Jesus' sake. Now, and I shared with you on Friday, I believe, about how that I think that the message I listened to 20 years ago by the Archbishop, your head is fit for a crown, I can preach it word for word, still 20, 21 years ago, must have been the well from which God picked that thought. But guess what? It was while I was studying for myself.
Yes, sir.
It was while I was studying for myself.
Yes,
faith does not come from reported speech.
Yes, sir.
No. Your faith cannot be built on what somebody said. No. And this is what I found out with a lot of God's children. Our faith is built on what somebody said. You know, somebody said this about God. Somebody said that about God. Somebody told you this about God. You went to church and you heard this about God. Faith is not built by what somebody said. It doesn't come by reported speech. Are you following what I'm saying here? Faith comes by your interaction with the written word of God. That's where it comes from. Brother Hagin says the word of God is faith food. And I believe it with all of my heart. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes,
I can tell you for free that that's the difference between men who interact with the word of God and those who don't.
So you have people who have a form of godliness. There's a form of godliness. They know all the scriptures and everything, but they lack, as it were, the power thereof to produce the results of what the word of God has said. I'm teaching you prosperity. I'm prosperous. It's not what I heard. Are you getting what I'm saying here? I'm prosperous. I'm teaching you about healing and divine health. I'm healthy. I have a fulfilled life. I have a full life. You know why? Not because I heard what somebody said. What I heard them say took me to the word to search it out for myself. Did you hear what Jesus said? He said, search the scriptures. Glory to God. So the third thing the written word of God does for you is that it births faith. That's the third thing it does. It births faith. And if you want to build your faith, then you have to give yourself more to the word. Glory to God. Number four, what the word of God does for us, the written scriptures. Tell the person beside you, it's time to read the Bible. Time to read the Bible. That's the simple summary. Find what is written. Number four is that the word helps in spiritual warfare. Helps in spiritual warfare. When Satan, as it were, attacked the Lord Jesus. Now, everybody look at me. What did Satan say to Jesus? If thou be the Son of God, am I right? Is that not what Satan said? All right, can I ask you a question? What did Jesus say? Didn't you hear? No, the reason he was asking, if thou be the Son of God, was because he heard what God said at the Jordan. He heard him. He heard clearly that this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, did Jesus reply to Satan to say, were you deaf? Is it that you didn't see that experience? You didn't see how the Holy Ghost descended in the manner of a dove and a voice came out of heaven? Is that what Jesus said? Did Jesus respond to Satan by an experience? Even though the experience was valid and powerful, how did he respond? He said, glory to God. Are you still here? So Satan came to attack, stay with me here, attack as it were an experience that he had with the Lord, and the Lord Jesus would respond with what he had found in the scriptures. Glory to God. So your major tool in spiritual warfare is the word of God. It's not the loudness of your prayer, but the word in your prayer. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's not the tears and the weeping in the prayer. All of those things are important, but it's the word content in your prayer. Lastly, is that the scriptures, the written scriptures, are prophetic. The written scriptures are prophetic. And what do I mean by they are prophetic? This book, you have to understand that you can read it as history, you can read it as good life application material, but the book in and of itself is a prophetic book. The Bible says Jesus found where it was written of him. The Bible says, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. In the volume of the books, it is what's written of me. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Which means as you study God's word and the Spirit of God begins to open your eyes, you'd begin to see portions of the scripture that describes the plan of God and the purposes of God for your life right there within the scriptures. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Which means as you study God's word and you're looking into God's word, you all of a sudden begin to see, okay, let me help you. How many of you remember when God called Jesus out of Egypt, right? And God said to Joseph, he said, those who seek the life of the child are dead. Am I right? And it was Jesus. I've showed you this before. Hosea prophesied and he says, I have called my son. And if you read in context, who was the son? Israel. I have called my son up out of Egypt. Yet when Jesus was brought up out of Egypt, Joseph and the mother brought him up out of Egypt. The Bible says this happened that it might be fulfilled that I have called my son up out of Egypt. Yet when Hosea prophesied, he was prophesying about Israel. He said, Israel is my son. I have loved him and now I have called him up out of Egypt. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means the Spirit of God will bring you into portions of the scripture. tailor written for you. The book itself is prophetic. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? Can I tell you something? What you find there is greater than any prophecy anyone can give you. Now, do I believe in the prophetic? Absolutely. Do I believe in the demonstration of the power of God? Absolutely. But all of it is at the mercy of the... You know, somebody put it this way, and I really loved it. He said one time, I heard him say this. Somebody reached out to him and said, oh, I had a dream, and in the dream they killed you or something like that. And he said he's told the person, I don't remember now the exact story, but he told the person and he said, hey, do you realize that I've had that dream or that vision 3 times by myself as well? So why are you worried? And the person was now worried. Haven't seen a vision or a dream that you're going to be killed. I saw it. You have seen it 3 times. Do you know how many people get worried about that? Or maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't know the number of dreams and visions and prophecies people have had concerning me. I have them in my notes. The last one was really World War III. I read it and I said, wow, amazing. My wife is not even aware. That's to tell you how unimportant it is. And this is from a valid vessel. I know that he's quite a prophetic vessel. But I read it and I said to myself, I said, you know what? It does not line up with what the word of God says. In essence, hear this and hear me well. No matter how powerful that dream or that vision is, the word of God supersedes it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying that it is not true. I'm saying that I can change it with what is written. I'm not saying that they saw wrong or they heard wrong. I'm saying that what is written is of greater value in the realm of the spirit. It's of greater value. Remember Jesus went to the pool of Bethsaida and the man said, there's nobody to throw me into the water once it is stirred. And that's what the anointing and gifts are. It's a stirring. It's a stirring. I mean, we can have a healing service right now. And we've had healing services where I felt more anointed and healing services where I didn't feel that anointed. I mean, I'll sit down here. I remember one of those services. I said to my wife, I said, I feel good. And I knew what I meant by I feel good. I mean, it was just like a cloak of the anointing that came upon me. And I knew that ministry was going to be ease. And it was. Here, there have been other times, even with all of my prayers, I didn't sense anything strong. Guess what? Human vessels will always oscillate. There will always be variations. But the word of God can be trusted at any time. Now, hear me and hear me well. You have to understand this. There is nothing the anointing will do for you that the word will not do. Get it that the anointing and gifts of the Spirit are what we call spiritual shunts, which means in the compassion and the mercy of God, because the word of God works through a process. It's not magic. It works through a process. In the compassion and the mercy of God, he introduces the anointing to help you get quicker results. But here's the thing. You are not expected to live by the anointing. You are expected to live by the word. Is somebody follow what I'm saying? That's why you find out that the first function of the anointing is not to heal you, but to teach you. The anointing that you have abideth in you. And what does it do? It teaches you all what things. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? So we can come into a healing service right now, okay? And then, you know, the anointing of God's spirit is so strong everywhere. The glory of God is, so strong in the whole house and all of that. And just imagine this. Pastor Victor, you're welcome. God bless you, sir. All right. Just imagine this, that we're here and then there are 20 persons here who are sick. And then 10 of them get healed or 12 of them get healed. And 8 leave the auditorium. And they say things like, maybe God does not love me. That's why I did not get healed. You see, because this is what I found out. Save in the ministry of Jesus, and not always as well. Save in the ministry of Jesus. Not everybody got healed at every time. Not everybody, no matter the strength of the anointing. And you know why? Because the anointing is not how you are designed to live. And the earlier you learn this, the better. Or else, you'll be at the mercy of every prayer altar. You'll be at the mercy of every healing line. You'll be at the mercy of every prophetic word. Are you still here? That book in your hand,
I told you, I said I just wanted to share with you. just it's family meeting, right? So, you know, when daddy is about to travel, he just will give you what you need before he travels, okay? So, are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Now, so how do we interact with the word? It's important. Have you heard them say, read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow? That's all I'm teaching you. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Stop opening YouTube to listen to every preacher without you having read your Bible. Read your Bible for yourself. That's where strength comes. That's where edification comes. That's where faith comes from. Are you following what I'm saying here? Read your Bible. The first thing you have to do is to read copious amounts on a daily basis. And this has to be sacrosanct, which means irrespective of what happens, I must make contact with the Word of God, reading copious amounts of the Bible on a daily basis. And pastors, please, for the brethren who don't have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, just see the pastors at the back. Everyone should be provided a Bible. Everyone should read the Bible for themselves. You read copious amounts of the Bible on a daily basis. Copious amounts. And by copious amounts, I mean you read enough to know that you have read something. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, this is important. Basic, simple, but powerful. Basic, simple, but powerful. I told you that, everybody look at me here. How many of you ate this morning? I mean, there's nothing wrong with you eating. Wave at me, you ate this morning. I know. All right. How many of you ate yesterday night? Okay. You all ate yesterday night, right? Okay, and I'm sure it was really delicious. Am I right? All right, so when you were eating what you were eating, did you observe your nails just growing out and all of a sudden your muscles became bigger in that instance? I mean, just right there while you were eating, you grew 1 inch taller. You checked it and you were like, wow, this slice of yam produced one inch of flesh. How do you grow? Over time. By eating over time. The problem is we're reading the Word of God to have one special revelation. And that's usually the problem. No, just contact. Just read it. Just read it. 2 chapters, 3 chapters, 4 chapters, 5 chapters. You know, what I'm sharing with you sounds so basic and sounds so simple, but I can tell you that it's still the most powerful thing you can do. If you like dance in the Holy Ghost and don't read your Bible, a demon will soon accommodate you. There are too many people laughing in the spirit who are not opening the Bible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's time to read the Bible again, right? Somebody said, when I'm reading it, I don't understand it. Ah, yeah. There's a simple hack to that. You don't start out by understanding. You read to understand. Which means if you keep reading, then understanding will start coming. Somebody says, well, but you know, I just don't have the appetite for it. And all dress. I've told you before, appetite, taste is acquired. It's acquired. I mean, for example, how many of you have eaten real Chinese, not Nigerian Chinese? You know, there's Nigerian Chinese, there's real Chinese. How many of you have eaten real Chinese before? I mean, if you give a white man a pepper soup, you know, and all the rest, and all of that. Now, how come we eat what we eat? I want you to step out from your Nigerian shell for a moment and consider the yuckiness of what we eat. Look at okra. Have you ever considered how unsightly, how terrible that looks? You put your hand in it and it's this way. Have you ever thought about it? Do you know why you're used to it and why you're okay with it? And it's so slimy in your mouth and think of it, and you are okay with something slimy in your mouth. Have you ever thought about it? And you are very okay with it. You know why? You grew up eating it. Some of you cannot eat lizard. That's the diet in some places. Good lizard. It's good protein. It's good protein. You know why it's difficult for you? Acquired taste. Taste is acquired. Nobody's born with taste for things particularly. You acquire it by what? Eating it consistently, whether you like it or not. If you want to develop a taste for the Word of God, then you have to discipline yourself to stay in the Word of God. That's the only way to do it. Hear this. It's not a gift from heaven. Oh God, before I leave service today, just let me just not be able to sleep if I don't read your Bible. You sleep very soundly, I can tell you. That prayer will not be answered. Number two, consistency. And I'll just close with this. I told you I just wanted to share a few thoughts with you. Consistency. Did you get anything this morning? Yes. Tell the person beside you, it is written, is greater than any vision. Come on, say it with me. It is written, is greater than any healing service. You know what I'm telling you? You can create your own healing service in your room with it is written. Are you following what I'm saying? It is written is greater than any experience you may have. It's written. Number two is consistency. I've said this over and over again, that in the kingdom of God, consistency is greater than intensity. Which means you lock yourself up for a day to read 20 chapters and you're gone for 20 days thereafter. One chapter per day in the strength of what you have eaten. No, consistency. And if you miss it one day, then move on. Start again. Some of you started Bible plans and you missed 1 week. And you just left it. You say, okay, I'm not a quitter. I don't like doing things halfway. Now you're not doing it at all. It's halfway. Everything is gone. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So it's time to get back to the Word of God, all right? Remember I told you that the essence of the teaching ministry is to stir a hunger and a desire in your heart for the written scriptures. Not a dependency on that ministry. To stir a hunger and a desire in your heart for the written scriptures. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and pray in the Holy Spirit where you are. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands and pray in the Spirit where you are. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Come on, go ahead and give him praise for his word. Give him praise, give him praise, give him praise where you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says Jesus found where it was written. Before the week is over, the Spirit of the Lord will lead you into portions of the Bible where it's written concerning you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Glory to your holy name. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we have prayed. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. To be a part of any of our programs or services, visit our website www.petruscc.org for our different locations and service times. We'll be happy to have you join our online community. Follow us on our social media handle on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Petra Christian Center. You can also reach us via email at correspondent@petruscc.org or call us on 070-173-87222. Petra Christian Center, building Jesus communities globally.